أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين. ما ينظرون إلا صيحة واحدة تأخذهم وهم يخصمون. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and honorable sisters. Last night we commenced the tafsir of Section 5 of Surah Yasin. In Section 4, which is perhaps the shortest section of Surah Yasin, there were three ayat that were discussed. Ayah number 45, wherein the believers asked the disbelievers to safeguard themselves and protect themselves against a punishment that could afflict them in this world or in the next. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayah number 46 explained that no matter what sign or miracle is produced and provided to the disbelievers, they will never accept the message of Islam. In ayah number 47, again, another dialogue between the believers and disbelievers, and this time, the believers are asking the disbelievers to spend from whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had provided for them, to spend from that wealth upon the poor and the needy. And we then concluded section number 4. We commence section 5, and section 5 introduces us to the main theme of Surah Yasin. In our very first lesson, we explained that the main theme of Surah Yasin is Akhirah, the life after death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences this by an objection made by the disbelievers. And more than objection, it was said out of mockery and to poke fun and ridicule at the believers. Section number 5 commences with the ayah. Ayah number 48, ويقولون, and they say, who are they? The disbelievers. متى هذا الوعد? When will this promise be fulfilled? الوعد. You promised us a punishment. You promised us life after death. You promised us qiyamah. When will this be fulfilled? إن كنتم صادقين. If you are truthful and you really believe in what you are saying, then why does it not come? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then refutes this objection of theirs, and Allah responds by saying, مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَ وَاحِدًا. Allah says they await only but a single sayha. They are waiting for just a single sayha. Very boldly and very bravely, they are objecting, and with so much of arrogance and pride, they are poking fun and they are ridiculing the believers and taunting them with regards to the promise. When is it going to be fulfilled? When will Qiyamah come? Allah says they are waiting for a single sayha. تَأْخُذُهُمْ. Allah says that sayha, it will seize them while they are disputing. Okay, let us first look at the word sayha. Where else did the word sayha come? Did it pass before? The word sayha? Where did it appear? Can you point it out to me? Where was it used? Sayha. It was used in section number 2, correct? When Allah spoke of the destruction of the people, their disbelief could no longer be tolerated after they killed the believer. They killed Habib al-Najjar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَ وَاحِدَةً. Over there Allah says it was one sayha. Detailed, we explain the meaning of sayha, that shrill cry, that scream, that loud explosion that rendered them all dead and completely annihilated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the disbelievers, those who are poking fun in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who keep on making this type of an objection with regards to Qiyamah, Allah says, look, it happened in the past. That history, I can make it your future. That history, that sayha, that completely annihilated and destroyed an entire community and a whole habitation and city, I can allow that history to repeat itself. Allah says, it will commence with one sayha. Allah is introducing us to Qiyamah. How will Qiyamah take place? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it will be one sayha. And the entire universe, all of man, every living creature, every creation of Allah, the planets, Allah spoke of the ocean, Allah spoke of the earth, Allah spoke of the sun, Allah spoke of the moon, the cosmic creations and everything will be destroyed. One sayha. That is the first blow of the trumpet, the horn, in which we know the blowing will take place and that will completely destroy the entire creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces us to the beginning of Qiyamah. Allah says, مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَ وَاحِدَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ. It will seize them. وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ. يَخِصِّمُونَ. What does this mean, يَخِصِّمُونَ? Allah says, while they are disputing. What does it mean while they are disputing? In other words, it will come completely unexpectedly. There will be no warnings prior to Qiyamah, prior to the blowing of the trumpet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, people will be engaged in their discussions. يَخِصِّمُونَ. Two people in a hadith, it comes that two people will be engaged in a business dealing. The one will be selling cloth to the other. And they will have the cloth open up before them, ready to measure the cloth. And while engaged in that business transaction, the sayha will arrive. That sayha will come. The blow of the trumpet. Allah's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that somebody will be busy plastering his water tank. In other words, people will be engaged in their mundane activities, not expecting Qiyamah whatsoever. And that is when Qiyamah will arrive, when people will least expect it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ. And that is what is meant by وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ. They will be engaged in their discussions, their disputes, their settlements and so forth. While they will be engaged in that, that is when the sayha will arrive, the first blow of the trumpet. فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will not be able to make a bequest. They will not even have that much time. What's tawsiyah? Tawsiyah is to draw up a will. To draw up a will. They will not even have enough time to do that. A person, if he is suffering from an illness, it's a chronic illness, a chronic disease, and he knows that this disease or this illness will lead up to his death, or it will lead him to his demise, then he uses that time to draw up a will, to leave behind certain guidelines, certain advices, certain directives. He leaves all that behind. So he's given time. He's given time. He knows he's running out of time. Eventually he will succumb to his injury, or he will succumb to the illness or to the sickness. Allah says they will not even have that amount of time. Tawsiyah. فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. They will not be able to make a bequest. وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. أَهْلِ means their family. Meaning the person who's out in the marketplace, or he's gone out to work, or he's gone out for some adventure or some outing, he will not even have enough time to come back to his family. وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nor will they return to their family. That is how it will be sudden, quick, and over with. It reminds us of what happened to that community. Right? That sayha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as soon as the sayha arrived, it was like this huge fire that was burning and bucket of water was poured over it. Immediately it was extinguished. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a similar thing will happen when the first blow is blown into the horn or into the trumpet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moved on. Now the entire creation is dead. Nothing that survives. Absolutely nothing. Allah speaks now of the second blow of the trumpet in the next verse. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُفِخَ. نُفِخَ, نَفَخ. نَفَخ means to blow. وَنُفِخَ. And it shall be blown. وَنُفِخَ. It shall be blown فِي الصُّورِ. Sur is the horn, the trumpet. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the angel in charge of blowing into the trumpet already has the trumpet on his lip, and he is hearkening, he is paying attention to the command of Allah. He is waiting for Allah to tell it to blow, and he will blow. He has been created with a specific objective and task, and that is the blowing in the trumpet. Allah speaks of the second blow of the trumpet. So there will be two sounds that will be sounded by the trumpet. Allah says, وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, for a second time. As far as the duration between the blowing of the first trumpet, the destruction and the annihilation of the entire creation, and then the blowing of the second trumpet, according to some narrations, will be a period of 40 years. There will be a period of 40 years between the blowing of the first and the second trumpet. Why will the second trumpet be sounded? Why will it be blown for a second time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself answers this by saying, فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. The resurrection will take place. First the destruction, annihilation, and the death of every creature and creation. And then Allah speaks of the resurrection. So the second blowing of the trumpet, Allah says, فَإِذَا, suddenly, هُمْ, all of them, مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ. أَجْدَاثِ, the plural of جَدَثِ. What's ajdath? Ajdath refers to unmarked graves. Normally, what do we call a grave? Grave. You and I, what are we familiar with? The word that we use for grave. Qabar. We use qabar. And the plural is qubur. Allah does not say qabar or qubur, that they will emerge from their qubur. Allah says they're ajdath. Ajdath refers to unmarked graves. Unmarked graves. In other words, I will annihilate you, so, you know, you'll be totally annihilated. Allah is addressing the Quraysh and the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that people won't even know where your graves are. Does anyone today know where's the grave of Abu Jahl? Abu Lahab? All those prominent figures in the society who are at the forefront against the onslaught, against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where are the graves? Ajdath. No one will even bother and care where your graves will be. Unmarked graves, completely unmarked. People will be tramping over your graves and they won't even know you're buried beneath their feet. But the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the grave of Abu Bakr, the grave of Umar, the grave of Uthman, the grave of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum and all the Sahaba, those graves are known. People know where the graves are. The Shuhada of Uhud, we go and we visit their graves, we pay respect at their graves, the graves of the Awliya, the graves of the Saliheen, though it is not marked, but still too, we know where the graves are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved their graves. But these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that suddenly when the second trumpet is blown, from the graves they will come out, ila rabbihim, proceeding to where? To their Rabb. They will be directed by who? By the angels. So as soon as everyone emerges from the grave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayah recited this evening, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادًا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً. Allah says, you all will come to me individually alone, exactly as you came into this world. Your grave will give birth to you the way your mother gave birth to you. Explaining this ayah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when it is on the day of Qiyamah, people will be resurrected, hufatan, uratan, ghurla. People will be bare feet, unclothed, uncircumcised, exactly the way you came into this world. That is how you will be born out of the grave when the second trumpet is blown. That is how we will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, and from their graves they will come out, Yansilun. Yansilun meaning rushing towards their Rabb, rushing towards the Allah. Everyone will be proceeding in one direction, everyone proceeding towards Allah. And I think, you know, when we see the sight, when you are going to Baytullah and the Adhan is called out, and you notice how people from all different directions entering from the different gates, all proceeding, rushing in one direction. And that is the Baytullah, the Kaaba. So that's, you know, on Arafah as well, you find everyone walking with in a fast pace towards Arafah. Everyone moving in one direction. Similarly, when we come out of our graves, this will be the case. Elsewhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described it differently. In Surah Az-Zumar, Allah says, فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. It seems as if there's a contradiction. Here Allah says, they will come out, everyone, إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. Yansilun, and quickly move towards their Rabb, in the direction of their Rabb. Surah Zumar, Allah says, فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ. When they come out of the graves, they'll be standing bewildered. Yanzurun, just looking about. You know, sometimes you fall in that deep sleep during the course of the day, and somebody wakes you up, and for a moment you're lost. I don't know if you ever experienced that. Right? It just takes a few seconds or moments for you to just figure out what's happening, where you are, what time of the day it is, whether you're in your qabr or you're not. فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ. Allah says in Surah Zumar, they will wake up, qiyamun, standing, yamdurun, just lost and bewildered. So there is no contradiction. Mufti Shafi Sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, explains, فَإِذَاهُمْ, initially when they get up, they'll be shocked and lost and bewildered and amazed and amused at what has happened. Imagine people who have been buried for thousands of years, and they are now emerging from their graves, born once again. So momentarily, they will stand, and they will be lost and bewildered, and then the malaika will direct them that proceed in this direction. This is where you should be heading towards your Rabb. And then they will start moving quickly, rushing in that particular direction. Qalu, what will they say when they wake up? Allah goes on to explain in this section the scene on the day of Qiyamah. قالوا يا ويلنا من بعثنا من مرقدنا. First thing they will say, يا ويلنا, woe to us. يا ويلنا, wail is the worst form of punishment. The worst possible punishment is wail. When you hear Allah saying the Quran, wail, wail للمطففين, wail للكافرين, wail للمشركين. And Allah even says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Woe to those who neglect their salah. Wail. So the first thing they will say is, وَيْلَنَا. يَا وَيْلَنَا. يَا وَيْلَنَا. In other words, in our language, يَا وَيْلَنَا would translate as, this couldn't possibly get any worse. We thought that was the worst, the sayha that we experienced. Then the punishment of the grave. We thought that was the worst. And now, Qiyamah. They say, can it get, possibly could it get any worse than this? It could, sah, if they end up eventually in Jahannam. So that's the first thing they are going to cry out. And what will they ask? Man ba'athana, who has raised us up? Who has awoken us? Ba'ath, we are ba'ath, well ba'ath, ba'ad al-maut, the resurrection. Who has raised us up, min marqadina, from our place of sleep? Now, you might ask that marqad, place of sleep. Why are they referring to their graves as a place of sleep? A place of sleep is a comfortable place, correct? It's a peaceful place. But we know that they will experience hardship, calamity, punishment in the qabr. So why would they refer to the qabr wherein they were being tormented and punished as the marqad, their place of sleep? Mufti Shafi Sahab rahmatullah alayhi writes that the horrors of the day of qiyamah will make them forget the horror of the qabr. They will in fact prefer to rather return to the punishment of the grave, then experience the horrors and the reality of Qiyamah. So in comparison to what they had experienced in the grave, this will be far, far, far more worse than that. That's why they say, you know what, we are better off in that marqad. That was far more comfortable than the reality of now facing our Allah and standing before our Rabb. So that is why they will use the term marqad. Marqad. Who has manba'athana? Who has woken us up? Who has resurrected us? Min marqadina, from our marqad, our place of rest. هذا ما وعد الرحمن. It will be said to them. The malaika will say to them, هذا, this is what الرحمن had promised. Now where did the word وعد come before? وعد. Where did we discuss وعد? And what is meant by وعد? وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدِ. Ayah number 48. Remember what? Why was wa'd used there? They were mocking at the believers. Where's the wa'd? Come on, man. Where's the wa'd? Bring it on. Where's the wa'd? Where's the promise that you said will be fulfilled? Wa'd. Where's the threat? Where's the punishment? Where's qiyamah? So now the angels will tell them, you were mocking at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he spoke about the wa'd, about the promise that will be fulfilled, and you ask for it. هذا ما وعد الرحمن. Here's the wa'd. You ask for it. And Ar-Rahman has brought it upon you. Now, there seems to be some form of contradiction. When you threaten somebody, or when you are informing somebody of a punishment that they are about to face, and they are going to face it from a certain individual, do you describe that individual as a generous, kind person? No. You'll describe that person as some crazy person, a person who has might, a person who has power. Right? But look at this. The malaika will tell them, this is what Ar-Rahman, the most gracious, the angel is telling them of punishment, is telling them of Jahannam, is telling them of the horrors of Qiyamah, that this, what you are experiencing now, this wail, this worst type of punishment, is what the most gracious, the most kind, and the most merciful has promised. Ar-Rahman. Here the commentators write, that why is Ar-Rahman used? Ar-Rahman. Because it is to remind them that in the world, when you were given a warning, it was Allah's manifestation of His Rahmah. When you are given a warning in the world, when you are warned about Jahannam, when you are warned about punishment of the grave, when you are warned about the realities of Akhirah, all those warnings were what? Were a manifestation of Allah's Rahmah. Allah was warning and promising. Why? Because of His Rahmah. He knew you are going to face this in Akhirah, and because He didn't want you to face it in Akhirah, His Rahmah compelled Him to send those prophets and those warners to you. So Ar-Rahman did not want this for you, but you pushed it upon yourself and you have brought it upon yourself. So they will say, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنِ. The angel will say to them that this is what the most beneficent had promised. وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. And the messenger spoke the truth. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the mursaloon, the team that came. Remember the team? Al-Mursaloon. We spoke about Al-Mursaloon. They all came with one message. They all did speak the truth. And now you have realized that it is the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا. It will be a single sayha, referring to the second blowing, from due to which they will be resurrected from the graves. Allah says it will be a single sayha, one single shout, one single explosion, one single blow into the trumpet. فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعُ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ. And they will all be brought up before us. All of them will be brought before us. محضرون. They will be presented before us. Everyone will be present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. Allah says on this day of the resurrection, none will be wronged in anything. We will not punish a person more than what he deserves. And we will not rob anyone of any reward that the person has earned. La tudlam. La tudlamu nafsun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, none will be wronged in anything, in any way, in the least, but we will not oppress anyone or act unjustly towards anyone. Wala tujzawna. And you will be not recompensated anything except that which you used to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. In tomorrow's ayat, inshaAllah, Allah very beautifully describes the position of the people in Jannah and the comforts that they will enjoy therein. May Allah grant us the understanding.